All right, 6 o'clock. Let's start. Call the meeting to order at 6 o'clock for the July meeting. Start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thanks to everybody for coming out on the middle of summer meeting. I don't see Val online, and I didn't get any public comments via email, and I do not see anybody with their hand raised. Does anybody want to raise their hand for public comments? Okay, we'll move on. First thing is the introduction of the new board members. To my left, your right, is Dimitri Dondalos. He's an Ahepin appointee. Got a long history with the school, and we're fortunate to have him. At the other end of the table is the other Dimitri Kirikasidis. So we went from two Georges to two Dimitris, and we'll be better because of it. Not a slight against Georges. Just happy to have you both on board. At the end of the meeting, we'll elect a treasurer, because we didn't do that, because we're going to nominate Costas, and he wasn't here, so we'll wait till the go to the school to do that. Approval of previous minutes. So Bridget sent out the minutes for the June 27th meeting. That was the special meeting that we needed to take in order to approve the budget. Any edits or adjustments needed to be made on that?
Was it edited, Bridget?
Yes, I did. I changed it to the exact verbiage that, I went back. Yeah.
All right. I'd love a motion to approve the June 27th minutes as amended. Yeah. Second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Joel, who was the first on that? I couldn't hear. Joel is
Eva and Joel. I think this is the only microphone working, but it could be that one.
I can't see you guys. Normally I can see who's talking. Normally there's the camera for Odyssey Zoom. I can only see you, Ken.
Oh, we thought that camera was working. But that's beyond us. We're going to continue on. Sorry. We'll do the best we can. So that's those minutes. Now we're on to the minutes for the June 18th meeting. I do have one. There was an absence. Helen Anderson was absent on that meeting. It was the beginning of the June. That was when we had the election. She wasn't here.
Oh, okay.
It's the only edit I had. Anybody else have anything else? Okay. I'd love a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Yeah.
First from Eva. Second?
So we got a second from Costas.
Costas, thank you very much. You can unmute if you want to, Costas, to do that. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Minutes are approved as amended. We have no minutes from the May 18th minute because there's no audio. Sorry, let me rephrase. There was no audio captured for the May 18th minute meeting. So minutes were put together from notes, and Joel has done that. One very important thing that we need to do in those minutes is approve the bus purchase from Wolfington Bus Company for a total of $413,000 financed through Santander Bank. I would like to approve those minutes because they're sketchy at best anyway, but they do specifically have that. No. I'm just looking at you. The other thing on the minutes will be the out-of-state travel.
Right.
And I believe that was it. So I'd ask for your indulgence to approve those so that we can get those signed and over to Santander Bank so they don't hold our buses hostage.
I second.
That was Eva and Georgia. Thank you very much. Any discussion? I appreciate that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Thanks for approving those minutes. We can now move on. It's time for the head of school report.
Okay. Welcome, everybody. For the head of school report, this time we are doing
We're using this session to talk about the transformation of our Odyssey organizational chart. I have a few updates with respect to what's going on in terms of the business of the school. Very quickly, Building 27 is well on its way. About 3/5 of the classrooms are completed and painted with floors down. The half that's closer to my left hand is the ones that are still being constructed. Today we got the permit from the for the cafeteria from the health department, which is great, which means that we stay on schedule. And as it stands, it looks like we're going to be able to open on time as we had anticipated, which is all fantastic. There have been no other major hurdles that we have had to overcome as a result of construction. And there were no adjustments in costs, which is something that we obviously saw with the fields a couple of times. We haven't seen that for this one. So far, we're on target as we anticipate.
Can I ask you what company is doing the flooring? Can we bring them to 22 to give us an estimate?
We did get an estimate for the flooring. It's 135,000
per foot. For 22? Mm-hmm. Not as bad as before.
So it's to do the three buildings that are necessary would cost about $800,000. There's carpet in this building as well, which is fully shoddy. And there's carpets in, I don't remember the three buildings. There were three buildings that got us this floor. That's between $130,000 per floor.
At least this building has tiles in the classroom, though. We have it all over.
Yeah, I think that as we look to that particular component of things, we probably need to do some sort of phased appreciation version of this where we, you know, build into the budget $100,000, $100,000, and do one thing at a time. I certainly think that it's probably a stretch for us to spend $100,000 right now taking all the carpets out of the schools.
Did they give you any idea what the time frame or impact that would be to do a floor? Is that a week job, a 2 week job?
Depending on how much time it takes to remove the different materials and then what's underneath it, like what kind of glue it is, it could be anywhere from 2 weeks to 4 weeks.
So our best shot is maybe a Christmas break one, but probably not until summer.
I don't know. I'm a little bit confident that I might be able to tackle at least one set of floors. I don't know what I have to like probably take another swoop at it and see where the greatest priority is. There's some bunched up carpet in the second floor of the adjacent building over here. I was mix up the numbers. Is that 22? Yeah, so 22 upstairs is a little bit shoddy. So we could do the stairwells over there and maybe that upstairs as a starting point. But past that, we're kind of at capacity right now with what we're doing. There's a lot of construction here as well. As the admin office has left, they're making these all into special use rooms for special education. So there's construction here. So the walls coming down. And we also have, obviously, John Fergelli on the project on 27. So we're spread pretty thin right now.
And it's a straight square footage. There's no bulk discount for doing this floor or that floor. So if we can do half of this floor and that stairwell, it'll still the math, still maths. Okay.
It's the labor intensive component of it. We can try to cut some costs by doing some of the removal on our end. And that's, I've done that in the past over here, where we hire hourly employees to come in, short-term employees to come in, take the stuff out and put it in the dumpsters. And then we bring in the professionals to the floor.
Is that a parental volunteer thing, or is that a an insurance
issue? I like
issue?
What you're thinking. I'll be a parental volunteer for that one. I'm happy to do that work, but I don't know if I'm going to get a chance. Never.
Are there any insurance concerns? Should should a parent just decide to show up on said work day? And so I'm volunteering my time.
Or said weekend.
Yeah, if you do like a Saturday rip out.
Probably hammer some things out would anticipate.
Literally. Yeah. Hammer it out.
Perhaps staff do.
I think it'd be good to put the call out, Elias. This is Aaron. If you remember when we were like moving all the furniture out to repaint, like yes. We had a few people show up. So I to your point, we probably didn't have an army, but I bet we'd have a few pretty committed people who'd be happy to commit a day.
Yeah, and like I said, we can start this as a capital project that just takes some time to get to the finish. Because it's not something that can be done overnight, but we can definitely start to tackle areas that are, more need than others, so to speak. Happy to do that. It's kind of the same system that we use with AC units, right? Every year or 2 years, one of the AC units is going to go out. And so we don't rip out all the AC units. We just take them out at a time, and that's how we're able to afford it. And got
them. Okay.
So it would be something similar to that. But yeah, I just got that estimate today. I had a feeling that question was going to come up. And so I got the estimate 4 hours ago.
And Ev is willing to volunteer the board, so we'll help.
And which three buildings did you say are in most need?
I think
you said 22 and 20.
These two are the ones that are the worst right now.
Okay.
Like this stairwell comes up, we have to fix it every month.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
We have to glue it back down every month. So I would prioritize something like this carpet. Okay, this is fine. But that thing comes up all the time. It's a trip hazard.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So I would probably say these two stairwells that are in the middle of this are a priority. The stairwells over there are a priority. And there's just a couple areas upstairs on the left side over here where it's bunched up. The carpet has bunched up. So probably needs to be ripped out over there.
Are your estimates itemized that we could say, let's do the most, you know?
Not the way I got the estimate. The estimate that I got was, so it's 2021 and 22. 20 was the interval.
Because if the stairwells are the worst and are a tripping hazard, especially if you trip and then you're going to have a longer trip than you were expecting, if there was a way that we could do the stairwells more immediately, that might be.
Well, I think that we can do the stairwells because the stairwells are under 50 anyway, so it's something that I can just broad stroke get it done.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Once you get over 50, that's when we have to go through the regular water. But those things
I may ask something because I was on vacation when this matter came up. What is the issue? It's a matter of somebody fall down. It's a matter of just health. It's very old, have to be replaced no matter what. What exactly is the most urgent issue?
I think it's all three of those. They're tripping hazards. We mentioned the stairs. You can't really get them clean, so it's a health issue, and they're just worn.
Okay.
Because apparently these kids walk around on them. So, if we could have them not do that, it would be easier.
There's that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll look into that this month too. Like that by next month. All right. So that's the facilities updates for now. A lot of space, like we said, is gained because the admin offices have moved. The new offices have been carved out already. Some people are moving in right now. Dimitri just saw it earlier, so he can even speak to it. It's pretty ready. It'll be ready soon enough. But this is all cleared out now so the middle school can start doing what they need to do over here and start expanding the footprint preparation this school year. That's a big benefit that they get as a result of immersion program moving to the other program. So that's that for that part. The next part that I'd like to talk about in the report today is to present out, as I was asked, to present out on our transformation to a new model for an org chart. To provide context, the org chart that we're currently using is the org chart from 2020. I have been asked by several board presidents to put forward an org chart. I have two occasions. And in both occasions, it was requested that we not move forward with it at that time. For various reasons. And so at this time, we're kind of like a situation where the way that the organization functions does not align at all with what the current work structure is. It's not the way the school operates. It hasn't operated that way since I've been. I don't use a one-stop shop model. I use a distributed leadership model. And so the org chart not only is confusing and not reflective of who we are, it also limits our capabilities in many ways in terms of the way that we look outward. Number one, it doesn't look professional. It doesn't align with corporate terminology that banks use and other entities use. It also doesn't align with the highest performing charters. And it doesn't align with the vision that we have for the school moving forward. And then on a broader scale than that, it doesn't do anything to move us into a sustainability component. School is not sustainable long-term in its current org chart model because all of the information flows into one person. That's, you know, there's plenty of research to indicate that that is not the best model for an organization to have. At this time, so when I got to the organization, there were two heads, and I'll share this with you so you can see it. This is our current org chart. I'll do the best I can, guys, to get this all to space out and look the way it's supposed to look. Okay. So the comprehensive evidence-based justification of transforming OTC charters or the chart from the traditional 2020 model to the visionary 2025 approach that positions us as the leader in the educational excellence, operational resilience, sustainable growth. So the first chart that I have for you over here shows you the growth of the school with the growth of the administration. And what you'll know is that, and what you do know, is that the administration has not grown over time, yet the enrollment has grown by 25%. We essentially have the same team in place that I had when I got here, with the same number of admins, yet we have over 33% more students that we have that we are servicing. In addition to, when I got here, there were 350 total employees. Now there are over 500 employees managing. So part of this is making sure that we are in a position where we become less risk averse and more prepared for being sustainable in the long term. As you can see, schools research has shown the charter school experiencing rapid growth without corresponding leadership infrastructure face a 66% higher risk of operational failure. Our current single head of school model designed for a small institution has become a critically vulnerable and threatening position for our continued excellence. As the enrollment continues to grow, and I'll remind the board that our enrollment is projected to go to 2,700. We need to have a much more sustainable model. This over here represents the current org chart. As you can see, it has the board of directors with two people flowing, the head of school and the campus operations officer. Campus operations officer doesn't even exist anymore. That person was sunsetted in the first month that I got. So essentially, all of the information from the school and all of its different positions flow through one individual. And as we've discussed, this is not a sustainable model long term. Not just because in case I were to leave or something like that, but overall, it's not good for the health of the organization in the long term. The new model that I'm proposing has the board of directors with the chief executive officer and or president, and then six VPs. The VPs are of operations, Greek academics, American academics, strategy, finance, and human resources. These VP positions correlate quite strongly to what some of the top organizations in the country are doing, including the number one charter organization, which is KIPP. I have another document that I can share with you later to show you exactly how KIPP does it. The difference is that there's another layer above this for chiefs, chief operating officer, chief executive officer, chief operating you know, chief finance officer. And the reason why we don't have the chiefs is because we are still moving towards that level of sustainability. We're not there yet. And we still, even though we have five schools on one campus, we're still one LEA. So we don't need that extra layer of operational redundancy. So that's basically what this is looking at. The rest of the structures feed very nicely into that. The circle component is what represents the new executive leadership team for the school. So now what you have in this particular diagram is you have a lot more redundancy, and you have six positions by which you can fill a CEO position moving forward, especially as the responsibilities of these individuals, who, by the way, many of them are already doing these roles graciously without the titles, will be able to get the kind of, you know, reps that they need and the kind of experience they need to be able to run the entire organization. And that's the goal of this particular component. In terms of what this does from research base for teacher satisfaction, organizations that have a distributed leadership model show 37% better teacher satisfaction. It's about 17% increase in teacher retention, over 40% increase in instructional innovation, and student achievement almost 50% higher as a result of the distributed leadership model. Again, this has to do with being able to have individuals that focus with specific components of a program instead of having one individual that has to supervise all of the programs at the same level. In our particular situation, as we talked about, we're looking at a VP of operations to streamline facilities, transportation, and safety protocols, a VP of human resources for building and retaining world-class talent, a VP of finance for fiscal responsibility and strategic resource allocation, a VP of Greek academics, preserving and enhancing our critical cultural mission, a VP of U.S. academics, driving the standards-based excellence and innovation, and a VP of gifts and advancement for securing financial future and community partnerships. These specializations eliminate the impossible burden placed on a traditional principal. You must be the expert in everything all the time. This particular one shows you a little bit about what the redundancy model does for you from a research-based basis. The first one in the middle that's dark shaded shows when you have a redundancy level of only one person, what impact that has in the major strategic areas, the six strategic areas that we're looking about, that and I'm going to zoom this in a little bit more if I can, because this diagram is kind of a broken set and fit right now, but let me go a little bigger than that. Bigger than that, so you can see it really well. So decision-making speed, redundancy, scalability, organizational resiliency, succession planning, low burnout, and specialty expertise. When you have one person, as you can see, the impact in terms of the spheres of influence is a lot less than when you have a distributed model, which is able to cover all of the bases as a result of having more individuals doing that particular work. So our shift to this organizationally will move us to what theorists call anti-fragile from its current fragile state, making us stronger under the stress of the organizational burden that we have now. The model ensures that no single departure, illness, or crisis can disrupt the educational mission. Research shows that schools with distributed leadership models like this are 84% more likely to maintain consistent performance during leadership transitions. We have already seen the impact of this as we saw one of our leaders just leave, and that was with Jeff. And so being able to have the kind of redundancies for us to be able to absorb that is something that's of utmost importance. Fortunately, in the Department of Finance for our school, we did have a very capable person that was working.
Really should be on these board meetings. Jeff, the finance guy, left.
And she's sitting right here, and I'll introduce her right now, Deborah Wishnell. She is our business manager, and I'd like to introduce her to everybody over here.
Hello.
She'll be speaking to us from the report. She'll also be presenting a little bit in the executive session. So obviously, there's a couple things with the nomenclature that I think is important, too, in terms of a strategic advantage. Number one, it's a deliberate choice of VPs over chiefs, because the C-suite model is very specific and puts us, when you go into Glassdoor, if you go into a Dean and stuff like that, it puts you in an area where you're trying to compete with large corporations. That's not exactly what we're trying to do over here. The VP gives us the strategic flexibility to move away from the traditional nomenclature, look very professional for outside organizations, and match the professionalism that those organizations have, and at the same time allows for us to compete for the talent that we're looking for.
Elias, can I ask you a quick question? This is Aaron. Are you sort of getting at when there are maybe non-academic functions, especially you want to be able to compete with non-educational corporates to bring in the best talent and not have people see a title that doesn't make sense to them if they've, for example, been the CFO or head of strategy or something like that in a non-educational organization or something? Like, is that kind of what you're getting at here?
It is what I'm getting at. Okay. It's to be able to achieve a top talent in all areas. And oftentimes schools don't think that, right? They just think from the educational lens and they don't think from the lens of their long-term sustainability and functionality. Charter school VPs earn an average of about 15% less, actually, than traditional principals do, but their impact for operational excellence is much more profound. So you're able to attract that top talent. The VP structure is inherently scalable as Odyssey expands, whether through additional campuses, extensions, or program diversification. The leadership model can adapt seamlessly to whatever that is going to be. So it does provide that advantage as well. In terms of anticipated concerns, it seems too corporate. Well, educational research consistently shows that schools benefit from business sector management practices when properly adapted. Our VP model maintains educational focus while incorporating accountability systems that traditional school structures often lack. Will this compromise our mission? Quite the contrary, the specialized leadership strength strengthens the mission alignment. When each VP champions specific aspects of our educational vision, every element is dedicated to an advocacy. What about the cost effectiveness? Well, leadership investment increases. And in this case, Debbie, correct me if I'm wrong, but the proposal that I have is going to impact the budget by 0.137%.
Right.
So 0.137% impact on the budget. High-performing leadership teams reduce turnover by 13%, increase operational efficiencies by 23%, and improve family satisfaction by 21%. Leading charters use this model, including Bright Star Schools, which is the organization that I previously worked for. In terms of building a sustainable future for Odyssey, currently 71% of charter school leaders expect to leave within 5 years. Only 35% of schools have succession plans. Our VP model creates an internal leadership pipeline where each VP develops the competencies for broader organizational leadership. The approach will reduce the cost of external recruitment by 60% and ensure cultural continuity during transitions. The measurable metrics as well, teacher retention rates, targeted and have remained at this school at around 90%, versus the current Delaware rate at 76%. Family satisfaction target scores of 8.6 out of 10 to current 7.1, operational efficiency targets of 23%, student achievement growth targets of at least 5% per year per cohort versus currently 0 to 3%, and leadership success and readiness at 100% of VP roles identified as successors. That's a broad stroke of what it is that I am proposing for us for this particular component. I also have some other research that I can provide to you at a later time or now if you like, that has to do with the other organizations that are doing this kind of work that I kind of mentioned earlier. And I can present those to you if you like, or I can just quickly speak to them. Of the organizations that I was able to research and I know, number one, it's very hard to find org charts, right? People don't publish them very often. But KIPP Schools uses this org chart with a CEO, president, CFO, a CEO, a CAO, and VPs. Mm-hmm. KIPP Schools is the number one charter organization in the country.
Elias, would you like to tell the group how many schools they have around the country?
KIPP has, I don't know, 40 to 50 schools now, maybe more.
Almost 300.
Then we have Success Academy in charter schools in New York. They use the structure, CEO, CFO, COO, COO, and then the regional executive VPs as well. IDEA Public Schools in Texas, Louisiana, Florida, and Ohio uses this structure. as well with same structure and then the VPs. And again, like I said, the reason why we don't need the C-suite in ours is because we're only five suites right now. As we move towards our sustainability, what we're looking for long terms, which I have mentioned to this board in the past already, our goal is to be able to expand our impact, be able to provide blended education to as many students as possible, at which point this structure allows for us to be able to. Uncommon schools in New Jersey and New York and Massachusetts, they also have the same model as this basis charter schools out of Arizona, Texas, and NBC. Also use the same model. So those are just some of them. And there's a lot more information on that that I can provide you in one document if you need more verification on those things.
Can I just pop in here? I like the idea of distributional leadership. As you said, that's what you're doing. So there are certain metrics that we must have right now that are baseline metrics. My issue with voting on the organizational chart and all the VP titles, et cetera, is that it was kind of brought to the board in my eyes out of any context, a broader 5-year plan, the numbers associated with it. How do we get from A to the VP distributional structure? I mean, there are certain steps that take you there that have to do with the growth of the school and the number of schools, et cetera. It just feels premature and out of context. I understand the distributional leadership. Of course, there needs to be a succession plan in place for key positions. The key positions, yes, that I noted on the chart are key positions. It still needs a context of growing into that sort of growth, in my opinion.
Georgia, when you say a context, do you mean it needs to be sort of rooted in a broader and more strategic sort of like baseline from which it springs? And are you kind of getting at, like, from your perspective, are you saying?
I'm getting at that I think that before we look at an organizational chart, we need to look at a strategic 5-year plan that has current metrics as specified in the last slide, I think, and has those change in those metrics year after year, the change that we foresee in enrollment year after year, the change that we foresee in school budget year after year, you know, the numbers that align with that 5-year plan and how we get from A to E, rather than going from A to giving out, you know, 6 VP titles and, you know, okay. It lacks a broader strategic 5-year plan of growth for the school, so we can see how it aligns with that.
So
it's not a no. It's a we just need to see how it all aligns. That's all.
I have to respectfully disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a 5-year strategic plan that we wrote, started in 2022 and ends in 2027. Almost every single KPI on that has been met. And these individuals that are in these roles are already doing this work. The org chart, as I said, this is the third time I'm putting this in front of the board. The org chart has been long coming and did not follow the strategic plan. If we hadn't created the strategic plan, we wouldn't have been able to refinance the bonds. We had to submit a strategic plan. The strategic plan was written at that time, and we are executing it. In terms of the KPIs on that, I'm happy to go over exactly how much of that we've already accomplished, because it's about 99% of it. If you like, we can go over the entire thing.
Well, I'd like to have something in front of me to see that entire thing. I don't know about the rest of the board.
I think what Elias is saying to us is he has taken the last 5 years that he's been here, right, approximately 5 years. And he has analyzed them. And he has looked at the needs the school had 5 years ago. And since then, he has done his analysis of this past timeline. You're looking for a forward timeline. And based on what he has experienced with his team, he's giving us his opinion and at the minimum a starting point, right, of going certain direction. Is that correct?
Yes, because the end game, as right. I said, is long-term sustainability.
Mm.
It is more than one Odyssey school.
Mm.
And it is a C-suite structure. This is an intermediate to that. This right. is the first step in that direction.
Right. So if we're to also listen to what you're saying, Yorgi, what's the next 5 years is going to bring, right? I think based on the data you have accumulated, you can show that to us.
Yes, that's the whole
point. You know, not in extreme specifics, right? But in some general terms, if we do these kind of things, based on the last 5 years, we expect to see these things in the next 5 years. Right. Or so, goals and objectives for the next 5 years.
So, for those of us that don't.
Sorry, clarifying question. I think I heard you say more than one Odyssey. So I know we've sort of like heard some discussion of this, but to be clear, is there a plan? And I may have missed it. I know I've been traveling for work and I've missed a couple of board meetings. So is there a plan that the board has already approved to establish multiple Odyssey like satellite locations outside of the current Wilmington campus? Or am I misunderstanding what you mean by more than one Odyssey school?
No, you're not misunderstanding. There's no formal plan yet, but that is the direction that we're moving towards.
Well, to be clear, we're not until the board approves it. So like, I just think, to George's point, for what it's worth, I agree with like what you're proposing, Elias. I think it actually, I think there is a difference in sort of a standard district from a titling and structuring standpoint. So I won't be here after this month, but if I was, I would support moving to a structure like this. But I'm also sympathetic to Georgia's comments that, you know, oftentimes we've had kind of discussions or thoughts or things like that, that without the board sort of fully understanding all the details and approving them, end up fully ramped before they come back to us. And I think perhaps the request here is, hey, if you're saying that this is a plan, let's document it and let's show how the request here furthers that plan. I'm not saying we can't vote on it, but Georgia, forgive me if I'm misinterpreting what you're saying, but I'm just sort of trying to knit together what I'm hearing from you and what you're, I'm hearing from Elias.
You're right. Again, there is no issue with the, you know, with the organizational chart apart from the titles and the, and the distributional leadership and the, you know, multiple reporting lines and the succession in place because of that chart. I think that's great. That's all good, you know, but I need that, you know, larger context in terms of a plan moving forward to know where it is meant to get us from here to there and what numbers across all those metrics, where we are, where we were, okay, in 2020, where we are now, having implemented this distributional kind of leadership from what I understood, where are those metrics today? And where will those metrics be each consecutive year of the next 5 years? And if expansion is involved, when does that come into play? And all that, of course, has to be accompanied by the, you know, the financial side of things. So we're able to visualize the school's growth in terms of numbers and what we expect in terms of, you know, income and funding.
So, Elias, could I ask you a couple of questions real quick? Sorry, I'm the new person here. So if this is repetitive for everyone, I apologize. What was the effect of the budget? What percentage was it?
0.037%.
0.0137%. Okay, so from a number perspective, we can get some clarity around that. If nothing else happens and we just implement this model, the effect of the bottom line is less than 1%.
It's 0.1%.
0.1%, if nothing else happens. Does this model provide you more flexibility to pursue other avenues to help either streamline the school through efficiencies, through potential growth, through grants, et cetera, because now you have other people that are reporting to you where you can distribute some of your work off of?
Yes.
Okay. So worst case scenario, if nothing else happens, and I've had every title known to man, so titles mean nothing to me. I've named the title, I've had it, I've earned it. It's titles are negligible in my world. If less than 0.1% is going to put the school in a position to be better off for the future, at the very least, better off right now, I don't even see why we're discussing this for this long of a
Because I think the point that George is making is that she's asking for more data. First of all, it's not just about the less than 1%. There is a whole culture at the school that is not just title-based. It is organizational-based and structural-based. And I think what George is saying is she is lacking the information to validate the claim that this makes it better. I don't think she's saying it doesn't make it better, but this is a real change. I understand that you've just kind of shown up and perhaps it seems like a immaterial issue to you, but this is a very big change for the school. And so I think the request from Georgia is just to better understand what is the sort of thinking or metrics internally to Odyssey that went into this.
So I'm still confused with the change in culture, because the data that he presented to us, and I'm not taking anybody's side here, I'm just reading what I read. I saw an increase in student satisfaction, increase in teacher satisfaction, increase in teacher retention, increase in career development. So I'm not sure how that's negative to the culture.
I think what I would like to hear, what I would like to hear is
what would be negative, because change is going to happen inevitably in every industry.
Those are the metrics that were discussed. Some of them, the teacher satisfaction, the
right.
Kid satisfaction, et cetera, et cetera. But we need to see them over the plan, over a long.
But how would we see them?
And from what I understood, this distributional kind of leadership and these departments are already running, are already in place from I don't know whether it was obviously not in 2020. Did they start in 2022, 2023, but they're, we need to see how, when they were in place without the titles, you're right, they mean little, but they also mean you can go, where do you go from there? They also kind of take everybody up across the board to a certain point, and I'm not sure that all five of those distributional leadership positions necessitate that kind of a jump.
So I guess
wrong. If I understood well, you want quantification every year of something that's the first step, the second until we reach the fifth something.
Well, I'd like to see some benchmark, some success.
Some benchmark. Okay.
Benchmarks so across the
every year until the fifth year
that are presented that are supposed to be.
But you have the KPIs you said right from this is year four, in theory, correct?
Yes.
So we have the KPI data. The
KPIs are also very apparent. They're visibly apparent to us.
And Ilya, based on this data that you have accumulated over a fairly reasonable amount of time, what are your projections to satisfy us, and especially exactly what Georgia is saying? Because we're going to make projections, right? We're going to guess certain things, but educated guesses. So how comfortable do we feel based on what you have right now to say, okay, this is where I think we're going to be in the next 5 years, incrementally, starting with year 1, 2, 3, 5, let's say. Do you have enough information?
Sure. So
I think so too. The question is, can you provide it to us?
The KPIs that were based on the from the 2022-2027 strategic plan, as I mentioned, have already almost completely been achieved, and we're in 2025, mm-hmm. 2 years ahead of schedule. And so it's easy to project the rest of it. So, for example, the KPI that all students will annually demonstrate some growth, well, if you're talking about students in the high school, you're talking about the immersion program, we've exceeded those expectations. If you're talking about the 3-8, we haven't hit those marks yet. If you're talking about the Illinois rate, then we've exceeded expectations, and we've been exceeding expectations for the last 3 years while continuing increasing the amount of students that they've You're talking about the students with disabilities. We always continually are seeing those with 80% of our students with disabilities.
Minorities, all that stuff, right?
Minorities and stuff like that. You're talking about the rigor that has already been achieved. We have, obviously, we have the OHA now. When I got here, we had 5 AP classes. Now we have 16. We have 11 more honors classes in place. And now we have a new pathway in mathematics as well for the intermediate school and the middle school. So that's already been achieved as well. The benefits of which you'll see later on. The restorative practices, that's already been put in place. So that was one of our KPIs as well. 75% satisfaction on panorama surveys, that's already been completed and achieved. We are at 88% satisfaction rate. The KPI for completing the school-wide discipline audits was completed in 2024. The KPI for to work with the immigration law offices to support our national teachers has been achieved and completed. And we've also been able to open up a new H-1B pathway in addition to now having 4 candidates for green card. Ratifying a new collective bargaining agreement, we achieved that in 2023, and we did it in a 4-year deal. Being able to retain our talent, we have been retained 95% of our administrative team over the last 5 years. Provide opportunities for resources of professional development. That's been achieved as well, both with iReady, Amplify, KCLA, LARP, every single year. Aligned organizational chart by 2023, not achieved yet. Supposed to be done in 2023. Still don't have more chart. PAN Metron Arizon, which is our operational excellence and campus improvement KPI, number 1, balanced budget based on enrollment targets. That's been achieved every single year. Hitting 98% or more of our enrollment target every year and having a balanced budget every year. When I got to this organization in 2020 of December, we were running a negative $1.1 million operational budget. And now we have a balanced budget every single year, in addition to $7 million in surplus. The KPI for investment covenants has been successfully achieved with a credit rating from unrateable in 2015 to S&P investment grade in 2024. 2023 first, 2024 reaffirmed, which is a significant achievement. The restructuring of the debt, the organization was crippled with the debt with the purchase of Barley Mills and an interest rate of 7.5% that has been removed and moved down to 5.2%. That KPI has been achieved as well. The complete phase 1, the outdoor athletic facility, was achieved as well in 2024. The build out of Building 27 by the fall of 2025 is being achieved and is on time. Philanthropic investment reaching $500,000 for 2024 and $1.5 million by 2025. That was exceeded. We just got $1.6 million and $500,000 in addition to the grants that we're asking right now. Now the KPI that we are still working on is the Barley Mills outside the Barley Mills campus. That has not been achieved yet. We have not been able to sell the other property yet. It's still in progress, but we're working on it. Community outreach and partnerships, the Pilotimo part of this strategic plan, increased key events for family and community members. We have achieved that on many areas and multiple fronts, and I'll go into a couple of them: step up days, open houses, community barbecues, activity clubs, community engagement events. And you have seen some of them as well, big events where we have the community here and radio stations and TV stations, stuff like that. Creating a key task or being part of key task forces, which is personally to me, I'm the superintendent of the council, the state level principal mentoring. I mentor 6 people per year. I'm on the DCSN legislative committee. I'm on the national committee for charter expansion. I'm on the GAS committee. I'm on the Center for Education Reform committee for change and advocacy for public schools in Washington, D.C. The KPI for feedback creating stakeholder feedback. We use the Panorama Education Survey. We do it every single year, 3 levels. We've been doing it for the last 3 years. The KPI for organizing workshops with the Biden School of Education, that's also been achieved as well. Through our Greek department, the KPI to collaborate with schools in Greece, that's also been achieved as well. The dual language immersion program, the KPI to create partnerships with the other Greek American schools in the U.S., that's been achieved as well. KPI to complete the field enhancement and Building 27 projects and finalize plans for a gymnasium. We have a gymnasium off campus this time, and we're looking at probably possibly having one on campus if we are able to hold on to our budget over there and keep the expenses down. So overall, the financial sustainability KPI was achieved. We secured a 10-year charter renewal, which was never done in the history of the school, in addition to the fact that we were the only school to receive the 10-year renewal post-COVID, which was better than our KPI, which was for a 5-year renewal. We completed the organizational restructuring, and we're presenting it to you today. We did all of the facilities projects, complete our, what I quote, manifest destiny, the achievement of us having the entire property. And we have completed success even academically in both the immersion program and our high school. And now we're looking at the one part of the KPI that I thought was still missing, which is the 3-8 best back school. So
I'm sorry, what was the last thing you said? The last thing you just said.
Grade 3 to 8 standardized S back scores, but one immersion. That is the area of focus for the school. So out of the, I don't know, 24 men, what, maybe 22.5 out of 24 are complete on the 2022 to 2027 5-year plan. It's about that time, probably middle of this year to the beginning of next year, to start writing the next 5-year plan, at which point we can take our new org chart, put it in there, and then plan out all of the metrics forward what we're doing next.
What I think I hear in simple terms is the current leadership structure doesn't serve the school. We have outgrown what I
hear. Yes, we outgrown the model, and the people are doing the work. And they deserve the titles that they have been doing for the work for a long, long time.
Well, let's be a little bit careful here, because you just told us all those things that the existing current structure has done for the school, right?
No, it's been done without the titles, but these people.
Okay, without formally having, but what you are saying is, because we've been working, you guys, the administrative team, with that mindset, let's formalize.
Yes,
that's what you're saying.
Yes,
right.
And we've been working. I mean, if you look at her job description, or you look at my job description, and you look at the spec ed job description, the people are doing way beyond that level of work, way beyond. Ioana's job, and that's not because she's sitting next to me, it's because it's true. You're talking about 50 Greek teachers. You're talking about bringing here teachers every single year. This year, she had to try to recruit 9 new teachers from Greece. That's not in the job description of the dean. The dean is to run the academic program. That is a full-time job in and of itself. In addition to what she has to do, for example, outwardly facing with making partnerships with different organizations, and all of the success that she's seen in those specific areas, having her as the VP of Greek Academics to me is something that she's been doing since she got here. And this is just honoring what's already been done, the work that's already been done.
So in theory, you've already been operating in your new org chart, in your new
since 2022
model.
Yes.
You just haven't put it to paper.
It's
been on paper, but that hasn't been publicized. Yes. But you've been operating that way since 2022.
This is formalizing the way you've been operating for the last two years. Okay.
At a cost of, what is that, 0.05? Right. What does that equal in dollars?
The difference to create and to have these goals as we need is the difference of another 84,000.
So less than a carpet.
It's less than a carpet. Less than salary of one full employee. Mm-hmm.
And what's our annual budget?
$61 million.
Evo, would you rather have the carpet?
No,
I'm only kidding.
On a $61 million budget, it's a difference of $80,000 approximately.
So right now, everyone in Newcastle County is getting their current tax bill, and the average increase after a reassessment is around 10 to 15% higher. From a parental perspective, I'm paying more for my education than I ever have. Schools are underfunded. I disagree with that whole argument, but it's a different perception. So this school has lost one CFO, but we're going to gain six vice presidents. How do you answer that simple question?
You're building a redundancy.
No, and
lost.
And I understand your answer. And I understand the challenge of having 35 people report to you. It's impossible to manage. You can't really pay attention to 35 people's needs. And having six or seven people report to you makes much more sense, because those people only have four or five people reporting to them. So the distributed model absolutely makes sense. But at some point, we're going to be presented with the question from a parent, well, how come there's five more vice presidents? What's going on? And we need to be ready for that question. I'm not saying you have to answer it.
All at the same level of that chart?
And I'm not saying that's how I feel. I'm just saying at some point somebody's going to ask that question.
Well, so we have to be ready. Now they're just going to be called. So you're not adding roles. So that's not an apples to apples comparison. You're not adding any roles. We didn't add roles here. We actually reduced roles. So we reduced a role in special education. And we currently don't even have a CFO. We don't have a vice president of finance.
So there's no added headcount.
There's no added.
There's just an adjustment based on the work they're already doing, right, to be compensated for the responsibility that they're already incurring, or they have been incurring for 3 years.
Right.
And the compensation is insufficient at a director level, from manager to director. So it has to go from manager to VP level. Is that something that aligns with the state salary schedule or something?
There's no state salary schedule for these particular roles. So what you're doing is you're aligning things in a way that's a lot more transparent to an outside organization, to an auditor, to people that are in the finance world. They understand these positions quite well. I wouldn't propose this to you, but I felt such a radical change is going to make us go into, delirium of spending. That's not what's happening here at all. What we have is individuals that do a lot of work in the organization that need to be represented both for themselves and that we'll be facing as those professionals that do that kind of work.
I'm also a bit uncomfortable with the distinction made between the Greek education and USA education. So I'm a little uncomfortable with those distinctions on the organizational chart. I mean, I'd rather there were a VP of academics, boom, on top of everything to focus on academic achievement for the students, and less... less division, underneath. It's just something that I saw. I saw something else that didn't make sense. I saw special events under academics and teachers as opposed to being under the fundraising CEO role or whatever that was. I saw some discrepancies in the chart, and I read through all the job descriptions as well. And in those job descriptions, if I remember correctly, because I had reviewed them when they were sent out, it was a few weeks ago now, they do cover roles in a projected expansion that, again, hasn't been presented to the board in terms of a plan. I like the organizational chart. There are minor problems with it. There are the titles across all six positions that kind of I'm not grasping that. I think you ought to be CEO. We definitely need a CFO. We definitely need a head of operations, because I know their roles are huge. The role of academic achievement is equally huge. Together one role. So these are my issues. I just want to put them out there.
I don't think that the VP of Greek academics and VP of American academics are the same one.
They cannot be combined.
They cannot be combined.
Right. Yeah.
In no way can they be combined. because the VP of Academics for U.S. is looking at the standard-based structures of the U.S. educational system. The VP of Greek Academics, which is essentially what I'm proposing for Ioana, is the person who's responsible for looking at Eunomathia, the Greek standards, the Greek value system, the expansion of the immersion program, and doing something that doesn't exist anywhere in the
United States. I'm questioning the importance of both roles, and that they exist. I'm questioning the visibility of those two, the appearance of having that in the school's organizational structure.
The school is
U.S. education and Greek education. I just wonder how it looks to others on the outside when they see that.
I think we'll always have that challenge. It's fundamentally a core part of who we are. We're a Greek American school, so we'll always have Greek and American. Now,
or is it a Greek American system achieving U.S. standards and, you know, overachieving them? I mean,
it's U.S. standards, but it's still the Greek component is significantly different. It's the special sauce that brings people here. Not just the students, but all of us.
Yes, it does, and there definitely should be in the organizational chart. Mm-hmm. But somehow, I think that academic achievement as a whole, one number academic achievement, not this plus this, you know, is the most important of all.
I don't think the roles are just about achievement. There's so much more in there.
I don't think so either. If you go to the universities, they don't have just academics. Foreign languages have their own programs, their own studies, their own leadership.
I don't know if we should talk about numbers now. And as you know, I will always advocate about teacher salaries, first of all. But I looked a little bit deeper in the range of the teacher salary. And let's say if we look at the higher end, if we look at a teacher who has a PhD and 17 plus years experience, that personal salary is compatible with what one of the deans is making right now. And it's a 10-year contract versus to 10-month contract versus to 12-month contract. So
I'm not questioning that at all. I'm not questioning that. I'm just concerned about the...
There's optics you're concerned about.
The lack of levels of... in the distributional chart. You know, you can have distributional leadership without six VP titles at the same level. That's confusing when you look at, from a corporate perspective, it's confusing when you look at an organizational chart and all these levels are at the same.
Mother Georgia, it's not the same.
You're talking about a school that was created
just for the Greek.
That's how it is in every industry that I've worked at. You're a managing director or an executive director, or you're a VP. If you're not a VP, you're not reporting to an executive director.
Right.
If you're not an executive director, you're not reporting to a market director. If you're not a market director, you're not reporting to the CEO. So we've actually eliminated two levels, which I think all of us would agree. We'd love to have more levels because that means we're getting bigger and bigger and bigger, mm-hmm. right? So I think everyone who reports to the CEO needs to have a title because that makes us look professional. So I'm a little confused from that perspective.
You could be a director. You could be an executive VP. You could be a VP. You could be,
if you're worried about five VP titles, wouldn't an executive director or director title be more abrasive to the public eye? I mean, VP title, let's be honest, I hire somebody, they're a VP in 3 years. A VP title in this day is really nothing.
I blame MBNA for watering that down.
You blame MBNA?
MBNA, everybody was the vice president of something.
You've got JP Morgan, 3 years, yeah. You're a vice president.
Exactly. Right?
And then you're a vice president for maybe 20 years until you're an executive director or a managing director. Again, I come from a different world, so I'm not being confrontational. Please don't anybody take that way.
No, we're all from different corporate industry.
I like what I see here. I think this is, for me, very, I wish my company would do this because we have layers upon layers upon layers.
Yeah.
This is very smooth, very articulate. And as an employee, if I was an employee,
I see a very tactical and strategic career path for myself. If I wanted to work here, I could see where the people are, who they are, and where my career path would be if I was in a certain vertical. So again, that just means that's just my preference.
Succession, it's a good thing.
It's a great thing.
We agree on that.
And I know what it's like having people report to you. It's impossible. You're overly leveraging. You get burnout. And the one thing I don't want to see is anyone, board members, teachers, headmasters, be burned out, because I think we, being away for so many years and seeing what Odyssey School was before I left and now coming back and seeing where it is now, not inflating your ego, but it's gotten to a pretty good place. And I'm proud that we're associated with it, and I'm proud of the work the board and all the teachers and the volunteers have done. And if they need to be rewarded for it and be adjusted for it, then I think we should do it.
Not to add more layers to the parfait, but why not have IT up there again, the IT nerd on the board, as a key pillar of the school as we move into the, you know, the land of AI and the IT infrastructure running everything building to building.
I like that position under the VP of operations. I like the IT manager and the VP of operations. And so now you're getting a little bit more into my personal vision. So if you're speaking more to me as Elias Pappas, the executive director of Odyssey Charter Schools, I believe that the way that we're moving is opposite the direction that we should be moving in the educational landscape. And the movement towards more AI is our demise. In fact, I am moving our Chromebooks, the parts this year, because I want kids to go back to writing and reading, speaking, talking to each other, stop working through the computer all day, so that we have the tools necessary in order for us to be able to operate AI. Because we live in a digital world, those tools are already available to our kids because they're born into them. When you elevate IT to that level, to me, you're sending an outward image that's the kind of organization you want to be. I don't believe that's the kind of organization that we want.
Yeah, that's a very good philosophical distinction you're making. I would like to add to that there are two components to technology in every organization. Particularly in ours, you're looking at the technology that runs operations. So under your chart, the director of operations can do that, but you also have some level of educational technology that is used, right? Even if you're going to go to the one you just described, which I like that. So who's going to handle that? Educational technology, who is that person in your VPs that is in charge of the educational technology?
It would be the VP of operations.
Operations. So you think that person is going to have the skill sets to handle the academic component of technology?
As it fits into that part. But if you're talking about a technology component as a school component, that is the VP of academics.
Right.
If you're talking about using a new software in a science class, that's not the VP of IT to do that.
No, it is not.
That's the academics.
Right. So, but as I said, there are this at least two major IT areas. One is the operational, the other is the educational. And in many cases, these two intertwine. And how do you plan to manage that in terms of your people responsible for those things?
So we have collaboration meetings with the managers of the departments every single week, once a week, the leadership meetings. So you would have direct contact with those people on a weekly basis. And then you also have the executive leadership team that would be meeting in separate meetings.
And from your executives, who is the person that is responsible for the academic portion of technology?
It would be
the platforms, wherever you're looking at.
It would be the person that's doing the US academics, the person that's doing Greek academics.
Okay, so you're going to have What I hear is multiple people touching technology from different areas.
Right.
And there should be some kind of coordination.
It's distributed. That is between, the philosophy that
between them. Yeah. All right.
That's the philosophy that I
You feel comfortable with something like that?
I definitely.
Okay.
I like to suggest sometime to get together and talk about the
anything
subject.
Else? Anything else?
Yeah, of course. Talk about the subject separate. All of a sudden now you come and this how it's going to happen.
Yeah, no, we can't hear you.
That's all I say.
I can read the lips. I can't tell you
what Sorry.
My computer was about to die, so I'm switching.
You can turn it off again.
There you go, say something.
No, they're saying that I like just all the subjects about technology and everything else. It's not an easy subject.
Hang on.
I like the discussion, but
I don't know why we're not hearing yet.
You have to be some kind of just for it. The time is limited. And the,
Hang on. We really can't hear you. Select a speaker. All right, now say something.
Yeah, I say that this is all of these subjects, and Georgia says the Greek above the American. My experience from outside talking to people, the Odyssey has the reputation of promotes the Greek and this and everything else. So nobody said it puts down the Americans as a part of education, and never this issue was just raised by anybody. As about the technology, it's great. Everything else, whatever you say, I agree. But don't you think that we have just to have some kind of more time specifically on that? Because I don't think anybody's going to have any decision tonight. And any say, oh, you have to do that. The subject is not simple. Teaching at the university, still over there, we have the hell of the problems talking about this. What's going to be this? What's going to be that? So this is a high school, and the students, they have a certain capabilities, education, interest, and everything else. So it's not something that, I think this and I think that. Maybe a better coordination. That's what I think. I don't know. For a discussion, I mean. I don't think that. I agree. All of you have valid and great, great opinions and thoughts. And that's great. But I think that has to be a little bit more focused. That's all, nothing else.
All right, it's 12 after that.
You can mute yourself now.
Do we have any motions?
Motion to accept the new org chart?
I'll
put a motion to accept the new org chart.
I'll second it.
I second.
That was Dimitri Karafidis.
Keratocystitis. Sorry. They got more hair than I do.
Fair enough. I will try not to do that to you again. And Joel seconded.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Any discussion?
What I would like to say as discussion is that I read that there is a general agreement here that we need to go that direction. Nevertheless, there seems to be some need for clarity in a couple of areas, which I think you can provide. And as long as there is understanding that in the areas, a few areas of small concerns, you can clarify to us. And I would expect that you would do that anyway, right? I mean, this is a fluid thing. The main structure is in place. We all agree that we should be okay with that. Then I will be okay with it. That's my comment.
Okay. Anyone else?
I need more clarity and to see it in the context of, the longer term plan. Again, I have no issue with the structure itself and the lines of succession within the organizational chart.
But can we, time is of the essence. Semesters move pretty darn fast, right? But at the same time, we should not be rushing into decisions that are critical. Can we arrive at some kind of a decision where we authorize our administration team, and especially Elias, who has done all this work, to move forward with the caveats that there are certain things to be clarified for future presentations and or concerns, right? And this way we don't have to wait another board meeting. We authorize you basically to move in the general direction you're moving and provide us with clarity in the areas that you heard. I'm sure you get notes of that, that some people have concerns.
I think something that would be helpful, as half the board joined after this five-year plan was put into place. So do you have a read-only version of that that we can just have so we can see where we stand, see where we were, see where we're headed in the season that we're in now? That way, at least we just have that for context. But I would not hold that up from voting tonight.
And some of it, or a lot of it, was covered in the 10-year renewal document.
All of it.
Was it?
All of it. Yes. Nothing that I'm saying today was that was already voted.
Yeah.
Dimitri, would you like to amend your motion to put all of this together in different formats so that Bridget can type it up?
I'm sorry, what was that?
So your motion was to approve it as presented, but there have been some questions about adding clarity and some minor changes to that in the future.
So if you're asking me if I would amend it to state that I think we should go forward, but with the agreement that should we have questions, that we get cooperation from Elias and his team to answer those as we go forward, I'm okay with that. If it involves anything of stopping progress, then no, I'm not.
I don't think it does.
Okay.
Sorry. Do we need to put that in the motion?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little...
Bridget will cut it down to what we need.
But make sure you put the part about me not having more hair than Kitifidis.
Yes.
And my second still stands.
Outstanding.
Okay.
Any further discussion on the now amended motion?
No.
Hearing none, calling for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All those opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much.
Ilya, on a separate note, could you send me the 10-year
charter reel?
I wasn't part there. I was just really good to just read it.
Quite a document.
I
have problems sleeping, so I could use it.
It'll put you to sleep.
I'll send all of that and the 5-year plan that we currently have with the KPI structure as it is with all of the benchmarks that we're learning.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Like I said in the highlight, the benchmark that we haven't hit is the 3-8 non-immersion student data. That is the benchmark.
How far away are we on that benchmark? Or what's the gap?
Flat.
Flat.
Flat. It's a lot of attention. And it needs a lot of motivation. We have to find a way to motivate the kids because it doesn't match up with our outcomes when we look at them in a broad scale. Does that make sense? The kids are achieving great. I like they're going to the science, whatever, and they're winning.
Science Olympia.
They're going to the BPA, and they're getting first place. So they're doing all these wonderful things, and then they don't want to be asked about. They're not taking it seriously. They're not putting their best effort.
It's tough to get a eighth grader to give buy-in on a standardized test.
Yeah, fill in the bubbles.
But I will tell you, though, that we did a concerted effort in the high school over the last 2 years to do this, and our AP scores jumped from 28% to that. Concerted effort. It was a lot. We spent a lot of time shoring it up. I don't know if Ash is on the call. She did a lot of work on that. And it's been a lot to get all the teachers to align properly, use norm referenced assessments, use the same types of assessments so that we would have the right kind of data to look at and progress monitor properly. It's that exact process that has to be done. Non-version academic side.
And just so you're aware, that'll be even more so this year with the changes that Amanda and I have made in terms of regular courses. So we did that not only on our AP courses, but now
we found a way to align that across all of our courses. And so there'll be some additional improvements coming, thanks to the work that Amanda has been able to help me with.
Ah. Wonderful. Thank you. Anything else?
That's it for my one.
Greek report? Keep it short.
Keep it short. Because for many months now, I have been focused on recruiting. So this year, we have several movements also from Greek teachers moving to other departments within the school. And as Ilya said, my goal for this year was 9 teachers from Greece, which is huge by the number. The largest amount of teachers that we ever brought from Greece was 7 one year, 5 years or 9 in a lot. Especially this year with the visa situation this year that all of you know. I don't know if you were aware that the J1 that our teachers get every year was frozen for about a month. So we have teachers in Greece who want to come, but right now they lack motivation and they are afraid. So it's extra challenging this year to bring teachers. And today I had the 8th teacher who said yes. So we are one short, and hopefully I'm going to find the 9th as well. But it was huge. And we'll see if they're going to get, the person got their visa also, the embassy opened their interviews. But it has been a very long process. I think I communicated with more than 130 teachers, but of course some said no right away, some others had questions. So I had to communicate constantly with teachers in March. A lot of work, but I'm very proud. And also, it's the first time after many years that the Greek Ministry of Education sent us 2 teachers and not 1 or none.
Mm-hmm. Meaning they're paying for them or they're free?
Depending on the year that they are, they pay the amount that they pay, and based on the agreement that we have, we pay
the balance. So. Yeah. And that will be 2 teachers total from Greece paid by the government.
Not total, 2 teachers for this year.
This year, how many total we have?
3 more for this
year. So we got 5.
So we had 3, and this year we got 2.
So
this
is
a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Good work.
Well done.
So that's all the news. I'm still working. I'm very actively working.
That's pretty good news.
I want to have everybody here. I want 9 teachers here. So I feel like I'm with 9 person. I'm not really satisfied, and until I see everyone here, that they need to go to the embassy and get the visas, and the year is not easy. They change the process, it's extra layer that we didn't have before, so it's a long journey for them. It's an odyssey before even.
Which law firm is you're working with?
We work with Lorraine, I don't remember the last name. It's a Greek-American firm in Chicago. But that's for our H1Bs, for the J1s. So that's a, thank you. That was an extra challenge this year, because the company that has done the sponsorship for us for many, many years changed the profile of their job, so they don't sponsor anymore new visas. So I had to find new sponsors as well. And I did. So we work with Cordelma, which is the oldest agency for visas in the United States. And for the first time, we got DOE sponsoring 2 of our visas for free.
Wow. Yeah. Well done.
So we have 2 visas coming sponsored by our DOE. And the rest of Cordell. And we have 2 U.S.
Meaning the state DOE? Okay.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Is that through Fulkerson? Or just...
Fulton.
Fulton. Yeah. Okay.
For the visa.
It's good. Thank you very much. Any out of state travel coming up?
Not.
Okay. And financial review.
Real quickly, we do have out of state travel. We have the Camp Odyssey, August 25th to 27th. It's in at Camp Saginaw in Pennsylvania. Sorry. And then we also go back there on September 4th for the seniors.
Thank you very much, Apple. If I could get a quick motion to approve the out-of-state travel.
I move we approve the out-of-state travel.
Thank you, Joel.
Second.
I think Georgia beat you on that one. Any discussion?
No.
Hearing none, call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Now we're on the financial review. And I'm sorry you can't get the big screen, but we all have screens, so if you share, we can look at it.
I will share it. So we are looking at our finance report as of June 30th, 2025, which is 100% of the year. So we are done. The revenues that we and
yeah, we can still say we're fine.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Okay, so the final budgeted revenues that we received are $59,247,997. The final budgets that we've collected to date are $59,014,082, which is 99.61% of the budget. Those funds came by way of out-of-state revenue of about $1,600. Our CSCRP funds of a little over $12,000. Our aftercare funds of just under $2,000. Cafeteria of $126,000. Rent proceeds of just under $22,000. Student body activities of $89,000 and other donations of very close to $165,000. The final budget expenditures were $52,641,596, and that includes the contingency. And the expenses to date were a little higher, with $52,728,045. With encumbrances of just under $47,000, which represents 100.25% of budget. Our rev report. So while we were just slightly over, we did submit our request for a bond withdrawal number 7 for $575,000. That was submitted, and we are hoping to have those funds by the end of the week. So that would have actually made those numbers a little bit better. We had gotten that in a little sooner. That was one of the last final things that Jeff had submitted before the month. Any questions?
Nice job. Thank you very much. I'd love a motion to approve the web report.
I motion to approve the report as stated.
I second.
All right, Costas, we'll give that to you. Thank you.
I'm sorry, but me and Georgia were in the same wavelength.
That's okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, a call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Hearing none, motion approved unanimously. Thank you very much. Excellent job.
And Deborah, this has been sent out via email, if I'm not mistaken.
That's it, that's the report. Yeah.
Yes, so we have it already.
Yeah.
We did receive the June, month of June report. Did you also send the year to date report?
Yes.
Okay.
The Citizens Budget Oversight Committee, they did not meet. They're off in July. I'm not aware of any committee reports we have.
We have the non-HIPAA nominating.
What? I don't know when. Let's do that now.
We also have the Building 27 committee that Evan sent a report on.
Yeah. Email.
I actually didn't see that. I apologize. Bridget, do you want to give us a synopsis since I can just throw you on the spot?
I mean, he just had the logistical reports, but similarly to what Elias said, that they're still on track for the target date. Things are moving along.
Beautiful. Thank you. Nana, have
a nominating committee. Bridget had the scores on everything.
Bridget, you're up.
All right. What do you just want me to share out? Sorry, I'm not sure how this will go. Do you just want me to share out the nominated?
Position, didn't we? We had 7 candidates who applied for position.
Mm-hmm.
I think we narrowed down to 3. We interviewed 3 people, right, Bridget? And I guess you have the results.
Just share your recommendation.
Our recommendation was Monica Lachman, and she's actually on the meeting right now. And I do believe that Aaron was going to put forward a vote to make sure that we're all, you know, agree and move forward with that.
Sadly, Aaron had to drop off.
How many are here? 1, 2, 3.
Is that enough?
Oh, Joe, 4.
Okay. All right, good. Okay.
So I motion that we move to welcome Monica to the board.
I second.
Any discussion? I'll let you guys call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Hearing none, sounds approved.
Welcome aboard.
Congratulations, Monica. She didn't hit. Oh, there she goes.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's great to be here. So thank you, guys.
Thank you for stepping up.
Mm-hmm.
Your work.
Yeah, we appreciate you volunteering, and we'll get used to seeing you for the next 3 years.
Okay.
Might as well do the election right now. We need a treasurer. And I would like to suggest Costas. Costas, I have no idea how to say your last name.
Pounzoulas.
Pounzoulas, thank you.
You see, you know, in Greek or Spanish, whatever you see, you read.
All right, Costas, I would like to nominate Costas as the treasurer. Can I get a second?
A second.
Thank you. No discussion, I'll call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Hearing none. Costas, thank you very much. You are the treasurer.
Thank you. Right,
can you just repeat who the second was on that?
That was me, Bridget.
It was Dimitri.
Which one?
With the Cassidis.
Gata Cassidis.
The one with the great hair.
So, Costas, you'll be joining the Citizens Budget Oversight Committee.
Probably, yes, I will do that. And I'm going to stay there until 12:30. That's my last class of lecturing. And then I can make it.
Oh, yeah. It's usually 5 o'clock, I think, on the third Wednesday.
Okay. We'll say okay.
Yeah, it's right before this one. You have time for beer in between. All right. Okay. BTO report, not that any new business. We're going speed round here. Now, anything for the good of school?
Like to announce the hiring of our first ever emerging principal, Nikki Tandalu.
Oh, very good.
She will be heading the ship over there. She comes to us with a plethora of experience, both in the American education system and the Greek education system. She has a background in special education as well. She's worked a lot with small groups, in addition to being an immersion teacher. I would like to distinguish her because she's always been one of the top 2 performers in the entire intermediate and middle school and SBAC scores as a recent leader.
Wow, great.
And she was the Greek department coordinator of last year, 8-12.
My family has experience with her as a teacher, so.
Twice.
Exactly, yep. So.
Instructional coach and mentor.
And really original, almost original employee. She's been here for us.
Do we need executive session?
I'm happy to present it. And we send the number now.
Do we need the breakdown, or do they figure it out?
They figure it out.
What are we talking about?
So executive session, do we want to have an executive session? The only thing we would discuss right now is compensation for the vice president level of the school.
He's also a liar, so he cannot approve his own salary.
You know? That is true. So do we want to have an executive session? All right.
All right.
Somebody call for it.
I move we step into executive session.
All right, Joel. Second?
I second.
Thank you, Georgia. All right, we're off to executive session. We probably will not come back with anything of note. If you want to hang around, you're welcome to, but it will just be silence. So I'm going to call you. Now I'm going to start a breakout room. Hit mute on this. All right, we're muting. All right, we're back and there's no muting. Yes, okay, we're good. We're back. Thank you very much for staying with us.
Can everybody on Zoom hear?
Deborah. Everybody raise their hand if you can hear. Good, we're good. All right, thank you for joining us in executive sessions. Do we have a motion out of executive session?
I move we approve as discussed during the executive session.
Second?
I second.
Have I got it? Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Hearing none, motion approves unanimously. Thank you very much. I would love a motion to end the meeting.
I move we adjourn.
I'll second that one.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. Meeting adjourned at 8:15. It was a long one.